The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
This is Gracie Norton from the Wellness Her Way podcast, the ultimate sanctuary for a welcoming approach to wellness. It seems like every day there's a new food we're not supposed to eat, a new cleanse to take part in, or a new workout that claims to give us a flat stomach within a week. Rather than hopping on trends, we're going back to the roots of wellness and making a home of our body, mind, and soul. If you're seeking physical growth, emotional abundance, or simply a more fulfilling life, tune in to the Wellness Her Way podcast on November 6th. Get ready to embrace your body through all its forms and get back to the roots of wellness.
Welcome back to my weekly podcast, Taste of Taylor. I am so excited today because my boys are with me. Ben, Ronnie of Watch What Crappens. Hey, boys. Hey.
Hey, girl and boy. Hey.
Hi. Hi. So, Ronnie, not to make you feel bad, but Ben and I had so much fun the last time we saw each other in New York City.
I'm so glad.
Ronnie, you're always invited. You fucking leave Texas and come to New York, please. Oh, with Ben.
So pathetic. Like, I just came because I didn't want to miss out on a dinner.
It's
like,
not
so
pathetic.
Sad.
You could literally
stay
with me.
Do that.
I would literally be like, come stay with me. I'll kick my wife out of my bed. You can sleep next to me on her weird pad on her side
I
of the mattress.
Do that. I'm not like that. I need my own place to poop.
Oh, we have two bathrooms.
I don't care. You'll know I was in there. You'll be like, Ronnie pooped here. And then you'll always look at that. You'll always look at me like you pooped in my house.
You're just like a human poop stain for the rest of your life.
I just feel like that. Like if you poop somewhere, everybody remembers that. Like you could have the best day over there, but they're always just going to remember. Remember that time Ronnie pooped here? That's so weird. He doesn't poop at home.
Sorry. I'm busy. This is why I'm saying no, I'm pooping. Which is actually a lot. That's often my story, to be honest.
Well, I feel like when I used to come to LA, I would see you guys, but like, yeah. I mean, like, Ronnie, you really foiled the fucking play. You really ruined the plan, you know?
I know. I'm trying to go back there, but it's so expensive. And I should have just kept my apartment forever because I had rent control. And now I'm like, oh, I'll look into places. Things are
$10,000
a month. Like, it's nuts out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's people pooping on the street. I'm not paying for that.
That could be you. See, you could visit Taylor's and poop on their street.
Oh my God. Do you guys watch like the Netflix reality shows like Selling Sunset and stuff?
I haven't watched. I'm behind on Selling Sunset.
So good.
I kind of like trailed off a little bit in like the waning Christine years. And I started watching Selling OC, which I loved.
Love.
And I got like pulled away from it. But I was like, I've got to finish this season because I love it.
Alex Hall. Ugh.
Oh, yeah. And I...
She gets a visceral reaction out of me.
And I have to... I've been meaning since I saw you last a few weeks ago. I've been meaning to binge Buying Beverly Hills because I hear season two is really...
It's
great.
Really good. I will say though that those reality shows about specifically real estate, they really freak me the fuck out as not a homeowner. Cause I'm like, what? Like everything, these like shanties are going for 2.5 million. Like literally houses with the bathroom in the kitchen are going for 2.5 million.
They are. And in Los Angeles, these houses are not cute. I mean, they're ugly ass old. Yeah. Not redone, popcorn ceilings, you know, five different kinds of flooring, cheap flips, and they're $3 million, you know,
terrifying.
Absolute crap. And then you'll read the description and it's like, oh, the hills are falling down on the house. So you'll have to do something to reinforce that. Reinforce the mountain. I'm going to have to reinforce the mountain.
Well, good news. I'm actually going to be in Austin, Texas.
Oh, there you go.
Yes.
You
is that go. Near? That's where you are,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's where I'm in Austin. Well, I'm here in Austin.
Yeah. So I'm coming out for this Dear Media Summit. So I think I'm going to have to break away and just, you know, love you up. Yeah.
Or I'll break so in. Be like, hello, Dear Media. It's me, Ronnie. I'll bring this giant microphone I have.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm sure they would love to talk with you. You fucking winners of awards. It was well deserved. Truly.
Thank you very much.
I'm really not happy for many people, but I was happy for you guys.
Thank you. I get that.
I love your just comfort with that. Oh, my, this is so comfortable.
Being a miserable twat? Yeah, yeah. I'm very comfortable.
I love it. It's so cute.
Okay, wait. So we went out and...
We went to Cipriani's, by the way, or ate one of the Cipriani's. We didn't go to the big event space that like Erin Leachy had her like terrible anniversary party at. But we went to the one that was across from the plaza, because basically I reached out to you and we're like, let's get dinner. I was like, you choose a place because I don't really know. And you said, well, I like this one place. And there's also Cipriani's. And I was like, you know what? Let's do Cipriani's. I know it'll be overpriced.
Totally.
Maybe even a tourist trap. Mm-hmm. But I feel like Cipriani's has been such a part of Roni. It's such a famous place. I was like, I don't care if I'm doing the tourist trap thing. Let's do it. So we went on kind of like a rainy day. That was a day like three presidents were in town, like down the street. And we're like, we're going to Cipriani's.
Yes.
And, that was great. It was so fun.
It was so fun. But wait, did you tell Roni that we got drunk? Well, because duh. But then also can I say this?
Sure. I don't know. I don't even know what
Ben
you're going to say.
Ben DM'd Jessel.
Oh, I forgot.
From the Watch What Crafts account.
Oh, God.
Well, because we were drunk on martinis at Cipriani's. And I DM'd Jessel and I was like, Jessel, come out with us.
No, literally. And so my...
Right away.
So my producer, Heva, joined us because she's obsessed with you guys. Like, she's like, Taylor, I've always played it cool with all of your famous friends, okay? I've never asked for anything. I just ask one favor. If Ben and Ronnie are ever in town, you have to invite me. So I was like, okay. So we had dinner and then she joined us after for like a drink. And then we reached out to Jessel to go to the Regency.
Oh my God.
It was because it was Wednesday night. You know, Wednesday night at the Regency is when everything goes down. Jessel wrote back.
Day.
Yeah, she wrote back right away.
Right away.
And
right
she's
away.
Like, oh my God, I would have loved to have come, but this is where I am right now. And she's like, took a photo because she was like in bed. Yeah. But like, I actually kind of felt like if we had just reached out to her like that afternoon, she might have just come out with us. No, and that would have been the most amazing thing ever.
Wait, so Heva was like, you were like, what should I say? And I was like, just say that you're like in town and want to drink. And I was like, don't say you're with friends, because then she might think it's like weird. And then Heva, because she's fabulous to me and wonderful, she was say you're with Taylor Strecker. Like, that fucking matters. And you did. And then she was like, tell Taylor to DM me or something. So I literally went and I was like, oh my God, I don't follow her. Is that the worst feeling in the world? You're like, oh my God. Or is it a flex to be like, I don't follow?
I think it's kind of like a flex that she says follow. And then the first thing that she gets on her phone is like, Taylor Strecker followed you. Cause it's sort of like saying like, you're now on my radar. Cause someone just mentioned you at dinner.
So I followed her and she immediately DM'd me.
Great.
And she said, I'm so sorry we missed each other last week. I would love to come and join you. So I was like, Ben's coming back in a couple of X. I'll see you.
Wait,
so we should.
Should we have dinner or should we get drinks with Jessel?
Yes, we should.
Admittedly, I really don't like the Roni reboot. And although I've always liked Jessel. I always really liked Jessel.
She's
so I don't
alive.
Feel like this would, I don't think this would be a violation of church and state with podcasting.
No.
Because I also feel like Jessel's the sort of person where you can be like, you know, Jessel is absolutely ridiculous. What, like, honestly, I think that Jessel's a terrible person. She'd be like, it's so funny the way they joke about me. Like, I just love my fans, you know? She would just be happy.
So true. Well, that's the thing, because she's a girly. Like, she totally gets the assignment and she doesn't have her, like, knows how to join about it. We've talked about this before with you guys, but like, I can never help but go there because it's ever evolving. You know, you're always adding new shows and new people find out about the podcast that are like actually people on these shows. And also like with Below Deck, we get new fucking characters all the time. So who are the people historically that you guys are like, that like maybe even listen and reach out that are like so cool and so down with what you're doing? And then I don't know if you can share, but is there anybody who's like scary that you're like scared of? Or maybe they haven't reached out, but you're actually scared, like if they were to listen, that they would flip.
Well, most people are really cool. I think that if they're not, they just leave it alone. I think they're just like, don't poke the bears.
You guys.
Don't poke Ronnie. Don't poke the Ronnie, okay? Just let him be. The people that aren't cool go away really quickly because I respond very much like, oh, I'm so sorry. Don't worry. It's just a joke. And we're not here for you. LOL. This is for the audience. But recently I was at BravoCon and Aaron from New York, I was sitting at the table. I went out to get my friend and I came back and she had been sat literally shoulder to shoulder with me at the table. Well, I'm horrible to Aaron, and she knows it because she will comment on the pot. You know, I know she listens because she's commented before and been like, what the fuck?
No.
I
won't say
the fuck, yeah. But, you know, she's been like, what the hell? And then I told her, don't listen to this. And then she just kept listening to it and getting offended because that's her personality. She gets offended. That's who she is, you know?
Right.
And every time on the show, she's like, this is the meanest that anyone has ever been to me. And she was like that in real life. She's like, no one has ever been that mean. And I was like, oh, okay. So we have sat down and I talked to her and her husband, Abe the Babe, and kind of explained where I was coming from. I didn't really apologize, but it was just like, you know, this is what it is. And I know that it's hurtful. I get it. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say you shouldn't be hurt and I don't want to be glib. And I also offered to move. I was like, I will totally change tables. I'm not here to bully you, you know, but.
And what was the reaction to that?
I was like, and if I don't call you out, then people call me out, you know? So.
Of course.
Don't listen. Don't fucking listen. And it actually turned out to be so nice. They were
good.
At the end, we hugged and it was like a great conversation. And then the rest of the cast came in and I was like, oh, hell no, I can't do this again. Because they all immediately looked at me like this piece of shit. But I found that the people who are new to TV are the ones that listen. The people that have been on for a long time don't care. They're used to it. They're used to the haters. They fly above it. They've learned not to read comments or the internet, but the people who are new, which is why we have a lot of people from Below Deck, because they're always new and stuff like that. But, you know, the cast of New York, they all listened, but hopefully they learned never to listen again.
This episode of Taste of Taylor is brought to you by Maiden Form. Get a taste of M, a hot new collection of craveable intimates from Maiden Form, which is a brand with a whole lot of history. They've been around since the very first bra. Yeah, the very first bra. And now they're bringing you a new kind of classic, the chicest basics you've ever seen. So M is a collection from Maiden Form, which is a brand with 100 years of innovation and category leadership. They literally wrote the book on bras, and M is the next juicy chapter. I'm telling you, you have to feel it to believe it. They've got these yummy, buttery, soft fabrics that feel way more expensive than they are, and it's great style that will not break the bank. That's my kind of fashion, baby. Plus, they have on-trend designs made from stretchy, comfy fabrics in incredible colors. They have this bra me in starlight blue. It's so delicious. And speaking of the brahmi, the way I'm obsessed with the Maiden Form M rib seamless brahmi, there are no words. It has like incredible hold, but because it's wireless, it's comfy personified. And my favorite part is that M can actually be worn as innerwear or outerwear. So it's up to you. You can style it to your taste. You can create looks that serve for all or none to see. So visit maidenform.com and use code TAYLOR20 at checkout for 20% off your first purchase. That's maidenform.com and use code TAYLOR, TAYLOR, 20, TAYLOR20 for 20% off your first order. Visit maidenform.com and use that code TAYLOR20 to get 20% off your first purchase. And now back to the podcast.
Well, it takes time for them, right? Because everybody comes on and they think they're going to project this certain thing. And they do. They're successful at it, especially these, the newer crop of people, because they're all influencers. And it's all about projecting this fake ass bullshit. And they do project it. But at some point, Housewives especially makes you crazy. It just makes you insane.
Yes.
I don't know one single person who left, who has left Housewives unscathed. And we've been doing this 12 years. We've known a bunch of them.
Yep.
They have literally all gone crazy. Okay.
I think Bethany Frankel turned out pretty well.
they'll recover maybe slightly, like they'll get better. They'll be in recovery for a while, but they're never the same. You can still mention something from a season that happened years ago and they'll start to be like, 47 toothpicks, you know, like going into this.
This is I would be a great housewife because I literally get over nothing. I'm so mad still at my ex-sister-in-law. You know what I mean? I'll never fucking shake it ever for the rest of my life. Like, my wife is so sick of it. My mom and I will get together and we'll be like, so, and Taylor's like, this is literally from 12 fucking years ago. Please. You're torturing me.
You should be
me.
A friend of. Why aren't you Uba's friend of?
I don't think I'm rich enough and fabulous enough, if I'm being honest. I mean, if I'm nothing else, I'm self-aware. You know what I mean? Okay. So yeah. I just don't think that I'm the vibe. That's why they auditioned me for New Jersey.
I think also, by the way, you know, season two, I feel like with Roni and with Dubai, Bravo was trying to do this thing of like, you know what? We're a new Bravo and we're going to show you a bunch of women that you just want. Like, these are just fabulous women who you want to be friends with. These are the girls you want to go out and have a Cosmo with. Remember Sex and the City? And I don't think that vibe really works for the Real Housewives. So, but I'm enthusiastic for season two of Roni now, because let me tell you guys something. This morning, you know, on Thursdays, I treat myself to a bagel. It's kind of my thing. And I went to the bagel shop and I don't know what came over me. I think it's because people on Discord were chatting about stuff. And so I decided I'm going to sort of sample the season premiere of Real Housewives of Dubai, because we have the screener for it. So I started watching. I did not love the first season. I thought it was an interesting experiment. I felt like it was sort of like produced differently. It had like a different sort of tone in terms of just the flow of it. And I thought the people were interesting, but it never really came together for me.
I don't like the interiors. Okay, continue.
He means that in so many different levels.
I don't like the textiles on that show.
I don't like the
Everything's tile. And I get it. It's 500 degrees. Like, I get the reason, but it's just like sand and tile. And yeah. I don't know. I need more.
Everything looks like a Marriott that you like are like an all-inclusive. And you're like, blah, when you get there. You know what I mean?
It's like really and cold. Fancy
Vegas hotels, you know, when they're like brand new and they're like dripping with diamonds. And they're all gorgeous, but they're all just tacky, plasticky, soulless.
Yeah.
Atrocities, you know, and I just didn't like visually. I thought
I totally felt, and I felt like there was in the first season of Dubai, there was like a languid tone about it. It just sort of like, it felt like the show itself had been out in the heat for like, you know, several hours. It just sort of was like slow. And it was like, in Dubai, everything is glamorous and everything was just sort of slow. And watching the first 10 minutes, I think they got they took all the notes.
Yep.
I think they realized, because I was cracking up. I did not even want to stop it. I was like, the trailer was really good, first and foremost, because it starts with the trailer.
Okay.
I can't say anything else that happens, obviously, because embargoes. But I was like, oh, like the tone is like sharper. It's tighter. It's quicker. It's funnier. It felt like, I was like, oh, it feels like everyone got the memo. I felt like they all went to BravoCon. Yep. They saw the attention that all the other people were getting.
Yep.
Yeah, they came back they and they're not. Like, I will tell you that much.
Really?
Nobody it was showed just, up for their stuff.
Although actually, I think this was filmed before BravoCon, to be honest. But like, I'm just going to say that's what happened. Time machines and stuff.
Okay.
It was honestly, I was like, okay, I think season two is going to be really good for Dubai. I'm freshly excited for it, which makes me think I'm hoping that season two. I know, Roni, would you ever expect that this is what I'd be talking about this morning?
No, I never saw this coming, but I'm so happy because I was always really trying to like it. I mean, I saw all the good pieces there. It just never really turned into it, you know?
Yeah.
I actually thought it was going to get canceled. I'm thrilled to hear it's coming back because Dallas was so bad season one with the fucking poop on the hat. Like, kill me.
Miami was not great this first season also, by the way.
But Dallas, I mean, I still rip Dallas. I miss you, Dallas. Dallas, you know? So
I want Dallas
to
come back. You know, it's interesting. So Peacock did this whole thing, like we're opening the Bravo vaults. They just added Real Housewives of DC onto Peacock.
I have to go back and watch it.
Everyone's losing their shit for DC. And when DC initially aired, everyone hated it. Yep. It was canceled after one season. It was basically rebooted into Potomac, but no one had any time for DC. And now everyone is like, oh my God.
We were so spoiled back then because there were so many great housewives happening. And then every time a new one came out, it was like crazy and cool and good. And even the ratings were so huge for those shows back then. I mean, Miami got canceled, I think, for having like something like 3 million people per week. And now nothing has 3 million people a week. You know, none of the shows do. The highest is like a million.
The more Housewives, the better. Actually, right now, I just saw like, historically speaking, the only time we haven't had any Housewives airing in the history of the world of Bravo was, I think, during the pandemic. And here we are right now. We're Housewivesless, and I'm not okay.
Someone said it was older than that. Someone said it hasn't been since the Obama administration that we've had no Housewives airing.
Thanks, Obama.
Thanks. Thanks, Obama. Just kidding.
That's what it would be if my mother was interviewed on the podcast. I'd be canceled in 2 seconds.
So when does Dubai come out? Because you guys have the screener, but...
I think it's like June 3rd or 4th. So it's the first week of June.
I'm ready
but,
for it.
I was really pleasantly surprised. It just feels like Caroline Stanberg is being funny on it. Chanel, I mean, her looks already are... Like, and I'm not even that sort of gay. I'm not the sort of gay that's like, her looks are fabulous. Looks don't really, I'm like, I like let out like a little guffaw at the bagel shop. I was like, whoa, what?
By the way, I just fact checked myself and the Real Housewives of Miami was 1.2 million viewers for the first episode. So it wasn't three. So I did Paul Bunyan that, but that's still crazy numbers for Miami. I mean,
this still really
recently
good.
It was getting like 400,000 an episode.
And which people is are like, wild.
Doing pretty decent.
Exactly. Yeah, I know.
I was going to say, I would love for Dallas to come back.
Me too. When is the next? So when do we get Housewives back? Because I actually don't know. Not to put you on
soon. New Jersey's coming back next, like I think early or mid-May.
Great. Perfect. I need something to wet my whistle.
And then Jersey and Dubai.
Dubai. Yeah. And then New York's got to be around the corner because they're already starting to.
That's true.
And they're already starting to talk about the cast. And then Rebecca Minkoff is going to be on it in some form.
I don't know if she's going to hold an apple or if she's going to be a friend of, but I'm totally here for it. And she's a Scientologist. Let's go.
Really?
Let's fucking go.
People are pissed off because she's a Scientologist. And they're like, wow, I can't believe you're letting this cult on TV. I was like, don't be mean to Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. I'm loving cults on TV. I think that's completely opened the door to me. I'm like, religious trauma works in a dress. You know what
me?
I mean? I love some glamorous religious trauma, girl.
Same. And by the way, Scientology has had it easy until now. I'm sorry. Yes. A Scientologist may say, what are you talking about? There was a Leah Remini thing about us that was like slandering our religion. I was like, nah, until you've been on Real Housewives, you've had it easy. Cause now you are your religion is being put in the ring for every Real Housewives fan.
If we've learned anything from Salt Lake City, we've learned that. I was like, ooh, ha ha, Scientology.
Yeah.
And you can threaten the Leah Reminis of the world because there's only one of her. You know what I mean? You can send people after her. You can have her followed. You can bully her, do whatever you want. But you can't do that to Housewives fans. And we literally do not care. We'll just take videos of you and put you on our TikTok. We'll be like, isn't this hilarious? These Scientology losers are trying to get my life ruined. Hilarious.
Also, when you
Ramona Singer on your ass.
Literally, when you just said slander, all I can ever hear is slander, slander.
Oh, what are you hearing it from?
From Alexia, from the Real Housewives of Miami.
That is slander. That's Adriana from Miami. Then, she goes, you can't say that to me. That is slander.
Alexia mocked her. Slander, slander.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Favorite thing ever.
Well, she's a star.
Oh, by the way, what do we think about the divorce? The news of the divorce from Todd.
I was surprised.
Me too. I think Alexia was surprised. Genuinely. Yeah. I believe her. I don't think she's full of shit.
Yeah, that's why she wrote that post.
I was actually surprised that happened. And I guess I shouldn't be. If you think back on it, he was like, yeah, absolutely not. I will not take this from your children. But then he did, you know, he just kept taking it. Yeah. And so I was surprised. I really thought those crazy, because he seemed to know what he was getting into. You know what I mean? Which is... something I've learned you're not supposed to say. Like, they knew what they were getting. People get so upset. Like, well, they still don't deserve it. Okay.
We can victim shame Real Housewives people, though.
Yeah. Especially like, their husbands, right?
People who marry into the Real Housewives, yeah.
I think you're allowed to shame the husbands. But he knew exactly what he was getting into. He knew it was crazy town.
Right.
And so he still did it. I think that the need to project wealth it was a tall order for him because he's a property manager. He's not this high rolling penthouse owning, you know, that penthouse right. they showed where they had five cars. He was like the building manager of that place from what
Shut
I hear. So
fuck up.
He's
no
also
way.
Like very I think he's uncomfortable dealing with mess. I think he's uncomfortable with like being made fun of and stuff. Remember he like skipped out that whole party at the beginning of this last season
because exactly.
he was afraid of like dealing with people coming for him. So I think he's uncomfortable with that. And I think Ronnie earlier this week had a great theory, which is that Peter is at the root of this. Like Peter did something and Alexia stood up for Peter and Todd was probably like, I've had it. I cannot like, if you're not, if you're, if you have to have my back as your husband, your son is clearly in the wrong here. And she didn't have Todd's back probably. And he
Definitely
said
not.
Enough.
This episode of Taste of Taylor is brought to you by Skylight Calendar. So Mother's Day is right around the corner. And I'm always thinking about like what I can get for the moms in my life. My mom is a mom. My sister is a mom. My sister-in-law is a mom. And if you know moms, you know that running a busy household can be pure chaos and stressful for the whole family. What's for dinner? We need what from the grocery store? Did someone feed the dog? Like the mental load can be hard to keep on top of. But there's a way to make it all easier for mom and the entire family. And I'll tell you what that is. It's the Skylight Calendar. I'm not even a mom, and my entire life is now organized thanks to Skylight Calendar. So if you are a mom, trust me, you need one. So the Skylight Calendar is super easy to set up and use. I mean, I don't know how to do anything, so if I can do something, trust me, anybody can do it. And also, here's what happens. So the Skylight Calendar syncs events from existing family calendars, including Google, Apple, and Outlook. You can also add events directly using the touchscreen or with the free Skylight mobile app. So updates to linked calendars will automatically appear on the Skylight Calendar at home. So you know what's going on with everybody that's living under one roof. No more constant reminders, no more cluttered paper calendars, and no more worrying that somebody has forgotten something. So aside from Skylight Calendar literally running our lives now, it's actually really pretty too. It's like decorative. So it's available in two sizes, 10-inch or 15-inch. The 15-inch size is wall mountable. And when the calendar is not in use, you can actually turn it into a digital picture frame. It also shows all family events together in one spot with events color-coded so that you can easily see what everyone has going on each week. It's also kid approved. They like have emojis to make it more fun for kids. And they have this chore chart feature that helps to, you know, encourage kids to do their chores. This thing is amazing. And they also offer a 120-day money back guarantee and free returns. So you're fully covered. I'm telling you, we love the Skylight Calendar. It makes a great Mother's Day gift. And as a special limited time offer for my listeners, you'll get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/Taylor. That's SKYLIGHTCAL.com/Taylor. Like I said, Mother's Day is coming up right around the corner. So order today to get 15% off your purchase at skylightcal.com/Taylor. And now back to the podcast. Speaking of people not being able to handle listening to Watch What Crappens, have you guys been blocked by Jax?
Oh, years ago.
Years ago. Yeah.
Years ago. Years I think ago. Twice, well, because actually. I think he blocked us once and then followed us again and then blocked us immediately again because we went on Watch What Happens and talked about meeting him and him being... He came up on stage during one of our shows and I was like, I didn't invite him. But we didn't invite him up here. Like, who does that? Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, fuck, these people think they're famous or something. He made some comment and then blocked us. But he literally will block his State Farm agent. I mean, he blocks everybody. So it doesn't even feel, didn't even really feel like the warm hug that it should have been like.
Yeah. He blocked us a long time ago, which is fine because it's not like he's putting out any content that's worthwhile.
I want to see if he's blocked me because I was talking about him season one and two when I was at Sirius. And I know that they knew about it because remember when Sheena like melted down at the reunion when they were still like on the high stools at like at the clubhouse, it was like that long ago. And she was fighting with Stassi and she was like, you called Lisa old on that radio show. That was my radio show.
She called her old.
We like something about like somebody said something about Lisa being an old lady. I guess it would be me. I don't recall. But anyway, but that's I remember Stassi was like, you're taking it out of context. And that's not like, I actually don't think Sheena was taking it out of context in hindsight. But Stassi was protecting me because she's a good friend. But whenever I see Sheena, it's deeply uncomfortable. And I'm sure there's people that are like, Taylor, you're not that important. Well, I am. And yeah, she's... She just,
well, Sheena, I mean, listen, doesn't forget, I don't think.
Never. And I listen, I talk my fair share of shit. I will not take it back, but I will say this. Apples, it's a bop. Did I go into a fucking spiral looking for that music video from the last episode? Yes, I did. But there's no music video for it. But I'm waiting with breath that is bated because it was a good song.
You know, it took 9 years to get a follow-up single. So just hold on. And I'm sure it'll come in a few years. No. I liked Apple.
Also like, I'm on the internet. What was her other one?
Oh, yeah, you're right. So she has two other singles.
Remember when she shot that porn video with, not Max, right, but the other
guy? That's right. That's like 2019.
Wasn't it Max? Yeah.
No, it was the other guy.
Other one. Brett.
Oh,
Brett.
Yeah. Right.
I forgot about that one. Yeah, so Good as Gold was her second song. She had that song before Good as Gold, but no one remembers that one. Like how that one goes. Good as Gold is the only one you can remember. Like I liked Apples, but I don't know how it, I cannot remember how it goes. And when we recap the episode, the best I could do was just going apples, 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 apples. I don't remember how
she spells it. She's like A-P-P-L-E-S, which always gets me excited because I love a cheerleader, you know?
We love a fruit that gets spelled out, like bananas.
I know. I feel like Gwen Stefani's like amateur.
I know.
Wait, nice, like, nice lowering the letter number in your call out.
Countess Luann's going to be like, N-E-C-T-A-R-I-N-E. It's like nectarine. Well, it's the only one that hasn't been taken.
W-A-T.
Also, I just saw that Sheena did this partnership with Chili's because they're coming out with espresso martinis. Get your bag, bitch, whatever. But I think a part of her deal is she has to be a waitress at Chili's. And somebody recently posted a video that I follow and she looked so miserable. And I remember thinking, how much money did it take to get Sheena to go back to her roots and waitress at Chili's? You know what I mean?
Right.
Oh, and Katie, they were right next to each other in the commercial and they're making fun of some guy because they're acting like they're being interviewed for the TV show, you know? So they're like, here's what I think about espresso martinis. And Katie's like, why are you interviewing that guy? He's not even famous.
Okay, wait. So we'll get to the Valley, but real quick, VPR. So do we think, is Ronnie frozen or did Ronnie intentionally
freeze? No, he's just doing it.
That's Katie.
That's Katie impersonation.
That's Katie impersonation.
You method acting. You really
because it cracks me up. Today, someone, Bravo and Blazer, someone posted like, oh, this is a video of Katie the day she heard Raquel's podcast for the first time, or the day that Raquel went on Bethany's 4-hour podcast. And then it's just Katie, like with a face roller. And she's like, you know that song that's trending? And it goes, why you lying? Yeah. A good one. This is just catching the internet on fire.
So Vanderpump Rules, I'm seeing now across the interwebs, there's all these conspiracy theories about this is the last season. And if it is, or even if it's not, who people are predicting are going to leave the show. Do you have any predictions?
And who's going to leave Vanderpump Rules?
Yes.
I don't think anyone's going to leave Vanderpump Rules.
I don't think so.
They're attached to that one as long as possible. They're going to ride that train.
Yeah.
I don't know though, because Sheena and Lala did both buy homes in the Valley recently, and that cannot be an accident.
Yeah.
And Lala did not just buy a house. She bought a $3 million house. That's big.
$3 million?
Because I feel like that cast, Daryl is doing well. Good God.
And I mean, her podcast is really big. I'm sure she makes a nice dime off that. And then she, you know, has the show and she has all these Amazon things. So I think she's doing well, but it seems like if you just look at the general budget of a Vanderpump Rules star, I mean, Ariana's working the most out of everybody. And she bought a $1.6 million home and Sheena's was $2.5 million. And Lala's was $3 million. So I don't think Sheena and Lala would be buying these crazy, because in the Valley, those are huge homes, you know?
Massive.
And so I think that they know something. And also they showed up on the Valley this year. And I think that the Valley thinks that they needed them back in the beginning. The Valley does not need them. And I think it actually is going to mess up the Valley bringing in Vanderpump Rules people. I don't think that.
I think Sheena
and Lala on their shows, but I don't think they should do that to the Valley.
Yeah, I think they'll stay there. I think, I mean, it would be great if Vanderpump Rules could bring in more waiters. I think the show is always so good when they're dealing with like workplace drama at Sir.
Right.
But like, this is like not the moment to do that because like, it's so much about these relationships. I guess like if you move to the Valley, you have the option to go yes. over there. I think Ronnie's right though. I think the Valley has very quickly created its own identity where like if you import Sheena and anyone to it,
right.
it's like, oh, no, this is not your space because we have these craven people over here that are a different vibe.
But it does look like from even looking at like ahead in the season of VPR that there's a lot of overlap with the people on the Valley. So there, that can't be just a coincidence that they continue to keep this overlap going because we don't need the overlap now. We're in the Valley. We can separate. But yet it seems yeah. like Jax also is coming back and he's like fighting with Lisa. So it just makes me think that there's going to be some sort of, you know, meshing together of the two, which I'm not mad at. First of all, the Valley, this is why... You know what? OGs plus new willing talent, spectacular. I'm obsessed.
I mean, the new people, I was just saying yesterday, they're so great because they just come in and they're like putting it all out there and they're not yeah. practiced mm-hmm. reality stars, but they're just coming on out there and getting divorced by episode 5. I mean, that's crazy.
But I will say this too. I've been around. So because of the Stassi of it all, obviously like I've been at Jax's, I was there for Ocean's first birthday party. I'm around the peeps, you know?
You're around.
And I've met Janet before, and, like, she's truly a normal person. I think, though, too, like, Jax and Kristen, all they want is to be back on TV. So they're not going to let yeah. the show flop. So they're going to, like, talk to them. And it's not that they're coaching, like, it's fake. I just feel like they've almost through osmosis absorbed the reality TV energy after so many years of...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, those two are orchestrating everything and making all these. I mean, they're blatantly doing it, right? Like Jax's whole, Kristen's not ready to have a baby, like going from person to person. And then, you know, Brittany bringing up all the rumors that Kristen said this. And they're the three of them, and Brittany too, because, you know, Brittany's the silent one. But she's the one who's always acting so innocent. But they literally had that episode that a big fight broke out in that Capri party that was yes. all outside. And then you've got Jackson inside going, all right, you guys need to talk. You guys need to get together. And then you've got Brittany outside like, okay, y'all need to get together and talk. And they're both like producers, like holding a freaking boom microphone. Like, okay, guys, it's a good fight. Let's get back together. Take a five, have yeah. your Snickers bar, and we'll come back together in the center and get this in the can.
Do you like it? Are you guys into the Valley?
I think the show is great. Yeah. Okay. I could not believe how good the show is. I thought it was going to be miserable. I thought Ronnie and I were going to have to just like slog our way through this like half-ass thing where it's like, oh my God, being an adult is so hard. I thought the entire show was going to be another set of like people in their late 30s, early 40s, marveling at like, oh, being a parent. I used to stay up until 2 a.m. and now I'm asleep at 10 p.m. I was like, it's going to just be a whole show of that. Like these uninteresting observations that we hear from like time and time again from everyone. And it's been so good. And I think that like one of the reasons why it's working and one of the reasons why maybe having more Vanderpump Rules people on there might not work is because Vanderpump Rules was like, it started off as a show about young people, like terrible young people at a bar working together at a restaurant, and they're sleeping with each other, but they also have to work with each other. And that's like the dynamic of it. And like where the show started to really struggle was when they started to like graduate from that space
right.
and try to be adults. It's like, you're kind of violating the premise of the show. And like, it sort of like lost a lot of urgency until last season.
Right.
But then this show has established itself as like, no, this show is about people at this stage of their life doing this sort of thing. So like them doing the adulting thing is actually, it actually works because the whole show is built around that idea. So it's like, there's no betrayal of a central premise. You're actually just like building to it. And it's actually like, oh, we forgot that like we can have a show about parents and it could be fun if they all hate each other, just the way it's fun to watch waiters who hate each other, you know?
And that whole thing this week when they were just showing Kristen's montage of just when she said, I'm an empath.
I'm an empath.
And
they
showed the montage of Kristen being an empath over all of those years on Vanderpump Rules. I mean, that shit is gold. And that's all they need. They just need crazy people who are thirsty and right on the edge of being broke, too. Because that was the other thing. Kristen had lost
yes.
everything.
Yes.
Jax has got to be about to lose everything.
Absolutely.
I mean, Brittany did that Nutrisystem stint, but then couldn't lose the weight or whatever was going on with that,
right.
which I don't blame her. I would never take a Nutrisystem stint because I ain't losing that weight. We all know it. I can't even lose it on Ozempic. Okay. I hit a wall. I hit an Ozempic wall, and I'm the first person I've ever heard that even has that.
But, no. I think other people have too. Don't worry. You're in good company.
Okay, good. But yeah, she's like not even able to keep that. So I think that they were on their road to boredom. And yes. So they're even thirstier and they will do whatever it takes. I mean, now they're doing this whole, I think, fake divorce thing. I'm not sure what's going on.
I swear to God, I think it's real. I really do.
You do? Why?
Really do. I heard about it through the grapevine, like way before it came out. So, you know, I'm like the queen secret keeper over here. So I was like, I wonder when this is going to come out. So when it came out, people were like, PR stunt. I was like, no, dog, this has been happening for a while. So I just feel like if there was any stunt, it was them probably trying to hold it together for filming, you know, or like to hide it from production because maybe they weren't ready to face it on the show. I wonder if we'll even get, I guess they picked cameras back up. So we will get to see the Jackson Brittany of it all, right?
Of course they did, because that's what they do for everything now. Someone breaks up, they bring the cameras. Every single show is doing it. But even if it's not fake, like even if they're really going to go through it, it's fake in the sense that they're still married as far as business goes. They're still showing up and doing their podcast together. Right. They're still going to shoot the show. Everything is like, let's bring the cameras. We're going to get a divorce, but you better call those cameras to get back here. Like even if they're divorced, they're still committed to being together.
Totally.
Whatever addiction to, you know, minimum wage in reality TV is given them.
And Bravo also, by the way, found, they found a real breakout. What's the opposite of star? Like breakout, like
a real black hole. And
like a star is this beautiful celestial thing in the sky. What is like a dirt pile?
Like a mud sink.
Like a real mud sink.
A
breakout, a breakout sinkhole.
Yeah.
In Jesse. Jesse and Michelle, but really Jesse. Cause it's like, you just think that, like, you just assume Jax will automatically be the worst person, the number one guy in the group. But, like, no, they found Jesse, who is, like, vile, a vile, vile, terrible person. And it's kind of amazing that they were able to do that.
And the amount of good TV they're getting out of dish rags. I mean, these people have no charisma at all. You've got Nia, who seems very sweet.
Very she's sweet.
Like, and then I'm so you've got the other girl, Jesse's wife, Michelle, who talks like this.
Yep.
And then you've got the one husband who's like, I've got three under two. And then you've got Jason, who barely even moves. I mean,
he's hot, but says nothing.
Oh, Kim. Is he even there? Is he?
Literally, who is Jason? No, literally, who is Jason?
Jason is that's Janet's husband.
Oh, shit.
He's gorgeous. And he's like, should you touch that burger? It's like,
all these people are like Westworld robots that have been turned off for the night.
You have Jasmine.
Still like, oh, I can't wait to watch tomorrow. You know, I don't know how they've done it. They have found so many charisma-free people who are just fascinating to watch.
It's like Five Nights at Freddy's.
I want to watch that robot's boob bleed.
Five Nights at Freddy's, but none of the robots ever come to life. They're just there. And you're like, I know these are going to try to kill me at some point, but I think they're past their time. I think, by the way, it's weird because it's so funny because Jasmine and Zach are these two periphery characters who they're not really, they don't make sense on the show in the sense that the show is about all these couples.
Right.
Who have families. And they just sort of like linger on the sidelines. They barely get to say anything. It's so strange that like Bravo does this like half-assed attempts to bring these people on. I wish they got more screen time. I wish that because they're also funny when they talk.
They
and
are.
Zach is trying. He's trying to have his moment, you know, like every time he's on screen, he's like, I never said that. And you're like, he's trying to have his moment. They just keep on cutting him out.
I think they're the bridge to singlehood. They're the ones that are like, oh, they're the bridge to before we were adulting. They still live in West Hollywood and they're still supposed to be really cool, but neither one of them are really cool. that's just their vibe. I mean, Jasmine was on The Bachelor and she was always kind of like that, like kind of following the main people, you know, like commenting on the main people's thing. And then Zach has been on Vanderpump Rules for years, just following people around. You never heard a thing he said, but you just saw that hairdo and heard
What's up with that hair?
I don't know.
It's like there's apparently a lot
of hair combed badly. Because apparently it's real. People are posting videos of him proving that it's real. So it's now like, it's beyond just being fake. It's just like it's real and terrible.
Like, is it like crop rotation on his forehead? Do you think he got hair plugs? Because it's giving abnormal growth.
It feels like he's wearing an equestrian helmet and then he put hair on top of it.
It's like a Lego hair.
Yeah.
It's yeah, exactly I think it like looks like one of the turtles from Super Mario Brothers. That's all I can see. I just want someone to slide him at Jax. What, like knock Jax over. But yeah, apparently it's real. And I don't think it's plugs because plugs, you have to take the hair from the back of your head and then plug it in. And then it's always still thinning. And so you can kind of tell, but that's so much. He wouldn't have any hair back there. I mean, that's a ton of hair. And it's going all the way. It's like Judaized.
It's Judaized. That's what it is. It's giving Teresa's forehead. This episode of Taste of Taylor is brought to you by Taylor Farms. I got to tell you about Taylor Farms chopped salad kits, honey, because they are my favorite. They genuinely give a whole new meaning to Taste of Taylor. So Taylor Farms chopped salad kits deliver the freshest, best tasting salads to eat at home or on the go across North America. They are so finely chopped and they are so crunchy. They are giving country club salad. And if you know, honey, you know. Usually when you hear salad kit, like salad in a bag, it's like, oh, it's going to be like sad and limp and just kind of like depressing. But Taylor Farms chopped salad kits, they defy boring in every bag with over 30 flavors. Each base is a unique blend of greens and veggies created to perfectly complement the toppings and dressings that deliver the best tasting, flavor-forward salad kits you've like literally ever had in your entire life. They've got their wedge salad, which like who doesn't love a classic wedge? Buffalo Ranch chop kit. Oh, and they have this Asiago kale chopped kit. It's got tender kale, shaved Brussels sprouts, radicchio, I love radicchio, aged Asiago cheese, Parmesan garlic crouton crumbles, and this tangy lemon garlic vinaigrette. Oh, chef's kiss, it's so good. Taylor Farms is a family-owned company on a mission to create healthy lives through fresh, delicious food. And my goodness, do they nail the deliciousness. But aside from them being so good, they really are where convenience meets freshness. So I make these salad kits. Sometimes when I'm feeling lazy, I literally just make it in the bag because I don't have to do dishes. But you just like open the bag, you pour it in the bowl, you put the dressing on. And sometimes I like to add, like, if I have a piece of grilled chicken lying around, the salads are pre-washed, pre-cut, and ready to enjoy. So whether you're a busy professional or a home chef, Taylor Farms salads make eating healthy a breeze and so yummy. You're going to love them. Purchase Taylor Farms chopped salad kits where you like to shop. Available at all major grocery stores. And now back to the podcast. What else are you guys into right now that is giving you everything that you need? Or maybe not.
You know, for all the shows not being Housewives shows right now, I'm pretty entertained by most of them. I could do without two summer houses at the same time. That one always, I know you're asking me to be positive. That's just not going to happen. Summer House is one of those that like I always kind of like, but I just feel like such a loser for watching that show. It's like literally nothing happens and I just want more out of it. And then also it makes me so judgy. I'm like, you're too old to be this drunk and stupid.
Well, that's Kyle. And absolutely, he deserves that kind of critique. I mean, I solely purport. Like I wholeheartedly support that.
I don't know why Amanda hates me because you're fucking drunk and you have a mullet and you're 50.
You're like, Team Amanda all the way. Like, I feel justice for Amanda. Blink twice if you need help. Girl, run to New Jersey alone. Get him to buy you a house and then divorce him.
She can't even get one blink out, fucking Amanda. Lazy ass Amanda. I don't like Amanda either. That's one of those couples that just needs to go back to the food court and leave me alone.
Justice for none of them, because I think what we need is Judge Judy to come in and just scream at both of them. Be like, you know what? None of you get anything. And just split them up because they're both, well, Kyle's a drunk. Amanda's miserable. They need to go. I love this season of Summer House.
I am too.
I am like addicted. Every episode. I am so into it. I keep on telling Ronnie that like I'm like at this place now where I watch Summer House and I feel like it's my friends.
Oh my God. Wait, did we talk about this at dinner? Cause like, I'm also
we
like, oh wait,
did.
I think we did.
We talked about Paige. Like, I said Paige the best. No, Paige like, is so good.
I literally like, and I was watching it the other day and there was no fighting with Lindsay and Carl. There was no like yelling about anything really happening. And I found myself still deeply enjoying it. And I was like, oh my God, you know what it's giving? It's giving when you're in college and you and your friends go out for a fabulous night and then you're all together the next day so hungover, probably smoking a little weed, and yeah. You're just laughing at the dumbest shit ever and no one's saying anything really funny, but like it's hilarious. That's, I just feel like I'm hanging with my friends watching Summer House. I know. Love it.
I feel like Paige was having like the best season in a few seasons. I've always been a huge Paige fan.
Same.
I'm like an unabashed Paige fan, but this is, same. I feel like her really like, a really, really strong season for her because she's just like laughing, you know, because there's all this mess around her. And when there's mess, you just can see that her eyes light up. She's like, oh my God, there's like so much mess around. I just want to like go and like gossip about it. Plus also West and Jesse are great casting additions. Love West. Jesse, you know, he's like awful, but then he's like a good awful, you know?
Yep.
Like, you know, like the other shoe's going to fall next season. But for right now, they're both shoes are on.
Yes.
Is that the expression? The other shoe falls?
The other shoe falls. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah.
It drops, so, actually. It
drops.
Oh, shit.
I mean, same diff, but.
Where do you stand on Carl and Lindsay, the most pressing issue of our time?
I'm team Carl, full on. I mean, the shit she was saying about cocaine, Carl, I could not fucking believe my ears. My mouth was agape. I don't care that he wasn't fucking her. Like, justice for asexuals, leave him alone. Whatever's going on with him. I just feel like, how would you want to have sex with somebody? Like, she's like that with cameras on. Can you imagine the monstrosity of it all when there's not cameras about? I feel like he really, speaking of like, he needed to be saved from that relationship. I'm really happy that he called
you
it off.
You fell for it. Poor Carl, the victim. Poor fucking Carl. Yeah, here's the thing. If Carl was acting like he used to act on cocaine, she was saying, he's acting like cocaine Carl. He's acting like he was on cocaine. You don't just get some pass because you've been sober for a couple of years from being called out on your behavior. That's crazy. If I was dating somebody who was sober for a couple of years and I was like, you were acting just like you were when you were coked out of your mind, I wouldn't expect to be excoriated. I don't know where this whole rule from people came that it's like, if you're sober, then you're completely... I don't know. I just don't know what that is. If I'm sober and someone said, Ronnie, because listen, I used to do a ton of cocaine. And if someone said, Ronnie, you're acting just like you did when you were on coke, I'd be like, well, I'm not on coke. And guess what? You got me that pissed off that now I'm acting like I'm on coke. So congratulations.
Yeah.
I don't understand the being so defensive about it. It's like, just say, no, I'm not. But everyone's like, I can't believe she said cocaine, Carl. He could have gone back. He's not that weak. It doesn't make him this like little child who just can't ever take care of himself. I just don't understand where people are coming from. This whole show is built on cocaine. Everybody's doing it. Carl's coked out of his mind the whole fucking show. Lindsay's been coked out of her mind.
Allegedly,
the whole show.
In your opinion.
And everyone's acting like, oh my God, the mention of cocaine. We're all going to die. Carl, save him.
Listen,
Carl,
my feeling is this
network was built on cocaine.
As someone who is like between both of your Zoom squares on my computer, yes. I have to say, that you guys are both right because it's like, it doesn't have to be one or the other. Okay. Lindsay is vile to Carl. She is vile, but she's always acted like this to all of her romantic partners. You go back to season one with Everett, and where I have an issue where I lean more towards Ronnie, sorry, Taylor, but I lean more towards Ronnie on this one is that like we've cultivated this thing with Carl that he's like this precious, delicate thing that is like a little boy, and give him time and be patient with him when he has never been able to keep a job. Maybe that's probably because he was on coke. Yes. But like now that he's sober, he still doesn't have a job. He still can't figure that shit out.
Jobs when I was on coke, I have never not worked. And I did coke for 20 years. And I went to work every fucking day.
Company.
That's no excuse to be a loser. Okay, go
ahead. It's fair.
Yeah. I mean, even Jax kept a job when he was on coke.
I'd do it right now if I fucking had it. My heart wasn't about to explode.
I mean, SNL, hello, that's been on for 45 years, and that is literally like fueled by it. So he hasn't been able to keep a job. He does this like, woe is me thing. He's never upfront with his feelings. And the truth is this, he's known Lindsay for 8 years now. True. He knows what she's all about. He's Facts. Seen that she has these like drunken reactions. He gets into a relationship with her. And then he says, no, I don't mind if you drink, but he does mind if she drinks. He clearly does. He's not honest with her. He's also now like not seemingly attracted to her, and right. she's losing her mind because she's prone to losing her mind, which is her own shit she has to deal with, and that's not cool, and she doesn't get a pass. But the point is this, Carl does not get a pass. Okay. Carl is not a baby. He is not a little child. He is sober, and we've seen other sober people on this network, and they don't get passes
either.
You're
right, Lala doesn't cry about her sobriety every fucking 2 seconds.
Well, she does, but she doesn't get a pass. She doesn't, like, they still come for Lala. They came for Leah McSweeney. I mean, Leah McSweeney's garbage, but they came for her. Like, right. she had a rough go of it. Who else is, there's, like, lots of people who go sober on, and they still just, Countess Luann.
Like, that whole thing when she was like, you're like Cocaine Carl. And then he was like, listen, you know how hard that I've been trying to be sober, and that's really offensive. And she was like, okay. But the thing that bugs me about, I get that that was her in the wrong, like I'm being funny totally. In a way, but I get that she was in the wrong. But the thing that's making me crazy with Carl is that he is doing the same shit Carl has always done in a relationship, which that's is fair. To lead somebody gaslight. On, fuck them over, and then go, that girl's crazy. Look how in love with me she is.
Yes.
And look, she's a stalker. He's done that with every relationship he's ever been in. And now he's doing it to Lindsay, and Lindsay sees him doing it. She's his best friend. Right. She sees what he's doing to her. Fair. But Lindsay is too... A, she knows if she says anything, everyone thinks she's a bitch. So right. she can't really say anything. This is Lindsay actually being subtle on this season, which is hilarious. You see Lindsay actually holding back and not bitching about Carl and being like, well, I'm really, you know, I love Carl and we've been working on things and things have been better. And Carl, meanwhile, is like, this bitch is crazy. And she's, you know, I'm afraid to tell her about my job and I'm afraid to do this. And, yeah, she's and he's thing. Acting like this big abused victim. And she's trying to be supportive of him, even though she knows that he's kind of setting her up. I just think she gets a bad rap, and I'm standing up for the aggro crazy person because I am the aggro crazy person. And I feel like it's easy to blame that kind of a personality for everything.
No.
Yeah, and
so
I've traditionally not been on Lindsay's side with a lot of things. Like, I love her on the show. I think she's a great character and a great person on the show. Yes. But, like, I was ardently against Lindsay in her fallout with Christina Gibson. I think I was actually not even on her side with Everett. I was on Danielle's side last season. I've always traditionally landed on the other side of Lindsay with things, despite the fact that I really enjoy her on the show. But in this case, I really agree with Ronnie. I think that, like, Lindsay is... she's still doing terrible things. You know, she is kind of gaslighting Carl when she's like, oh, why are you raising your voice? When she's like yelling at him. And then he's like, Lindsay, she's like, why are you yelling at me? Like, that's like ridiculous.
Well, when she brought him the water, she was like, here's your water, you cokehead. You probably need water after all that coke you did. I was like, Lindsay, give yourself the water. You're so fucking hungover right now. He's fine.
But like, she's always been that way. And he knew that, like, going into it. This goes all the way back to what Ronnie said, that, like, you know, people know what they get into. They should be held responsible for doing their due diligence. And I think they both are just trying to, like, repair their damage through each other, and they're realizing that they can't do it. But Carl, it's like, this thing with the job, I think, is a real problem. And I think that, like, Lindsay was totally within reason. And it was totally acceptable for her. Oh, wait, today is Thursday, right? Oh, you haven't seen tonight's episode. I can't say it. Mm-mm. So, well, when's this air? When are you putting
week.
This out?
Next week.
Okay, so I can say it right now. So it's minor spoiler for you, but it's like Summer House. Who cares? Like, she basically is like, listen, what turns me on is a guy with ambition. And like, you know, so I really want, she's basically like, I want you to get a job. Cause he's like, I want to do this thing with Loverboy. And she's like, look, if we're going to get married and we're going to start a family, I'm probably going to be home with the kids. I want to know that you can provide.
Okay. And I get that. Like, she wants that traditional setup, and I get it. Cause, you know, respect on that, and also respect on stay-at-home mothers. However, not Lindsay leaving PR to be an influencer. Like, she's the greatest example of having a real job, spoken as an influencer. Okay. Like,
well, yeah. I think that she takes that as a job. So she actually, does, you see her doing it now. Is she great at it? Not really. I mean, no. I wouldn't call her a natural.
When she was like Paige. I'm like, no, Lindsay, not like Paige.
She is trying. Nice. And she's also made fun of Paige in the past, you know, about not having a real job. And
exactly.
it's very hypocritical, which is very Lindsay, you know, to be like, well, I'm an influencer now. And she's of course, gonna ride that. I say at least she's doing it. Carl's not.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think she actually approaches influencing like it's a job. Like she's like, I have some traction here. I'm gonna follow this. I'm gonna do it. But Carl is really just floating around, and he's always
can't even get people to wear white pants, and he's been doing it for 10 years.
And let's not forget that last season.
Yeah.
So it was really shitty, when Kyle just put Carl's business all out there. He was like, Carl was so coked up at a meeting and yada, yada, yada. Oh, that was so shitty. But Carl also had this thing where I remember he was like, he wanted a different role at the company. So Kyle said, okay, so give me a proposal of what you want to do. And then Carl didn't do anything for like 2 months.
Right.
And it's like, that's the sort of thing. And like, that's like, ambition is not necessarily saying like, oh, I have a job. It's like that desire to jump on opportunities and to like go after things. And I'm sure Lindsay is like, does not want to keep on prodding him to do things.
Right. And also like, I don't even like Carl. So why am I all of a sudden now I like Carl? First of all, I also really don't like his veneers. Okay. When did that happen?
Well, it was better than the, the faded, like archival paper teeth that he used to have. So
you can't win. You see, and this is the thing about being a commentator on these shows too. And this goes for all of us.
All of us.
We made fun of that poor guy's teeth. Listen, it wasn't just us. It was the entire audience. But we're out there in front of the audience conducting an attack on this man's yellow teeth or whatever, his gray teeth. The man gets new teeth. He spends all his money on new teeth and he still can't win. We're just making fun of new teeth. It's like you're never going to fucking win. You know, people go get their face fixed to not be called horse face. And then you just start calling them big butt. You know, it's like you're never going to win. So stop trying.
To Jax and Carl's credit, I think their veneers are pretty good. Like we've seen some really bad veneers on Bravo, like really bad ones.
Who was the worst?
Oh, who has the worst veneers? I feel like there's someone who has like terrible veneers right now.
I think Selling Sunset cast have the worst. I mean,
Mauricio
has
real
the
estate
worst.
People. Yeah. I think it's real estate people.
Mauricio's veneers are out of control.
They're the most influencer type out of all the professions, and especially on TV, they are just ridiculous. Like they're not even trying to look real; they're trying to outwhite each other.
Yeah, they are
unrealistic scale. Yeah. You know.
But I think because Jax showed off his veneers this week on the Valley, and I was like, you know what? Those are actually pretty good. Like, I didn't have a moment where I was like, look at those veneers. I'm like, yeah, those are good. I think Carl's are like fine. Again, I think like when he was in dental sales with those.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. When he was in dental sales with yellow teeth, I was like, this is not a good look.
I want veneers so badly. And Bravo is making it really hard for me to convince my wife that it's okay to get veneers. So she's always like, look how stupid they look. It's like, everyone's stuck in veneers. Killing me.
I have to say, I've got like an Invisalign situation going on or like close correct. And they're kind of making me look like I've got veneers. I mean, look at my upper teeth now. They're like, they're just like, so, I mean, of course they're not gleaming white, but you know,
I'll be joining you soon enough. I'll be joining you in the Invisalign of it all.
Yeah.
Oh man, I'm just saving up to get everything done. I want my lids done. I want my neck done.
Me too. Everything.
I think I'm just going to start getting everything done.
Oh, let's all do it together.
I eased in with Botox. Mm-hmm. Then I started getting chemical peels. Then I found the Ozempic stuff, which people can fucking say whatever you want. Okay. I don't even give a shit. Go on my Instagram and start bullying me about Ozempic. You fuck. I don't fucking care. You think I'd rather be like acceptable to your stupid ass? And if you need it, take it and stop worrying about all these fucking haters because it's amazing.
Incredible.
I started taking. And then so now I'm just like, well, now taking the Ozempic has given me a waddle. Look, now I have a waddle. And then my eyelids even lost weight, so they're drooping more. So I'm like, well, shit, if things are going to keep dropping, let's pick it back up. So I'm more forgiving of the veneers and stuff like that. I'm a hypocrite that way.
Well, I think we all are. And also, speaking of teeth, Ben has to go to the dentist.
I forgot I have a dentist appointment. You were like, do you have a hard out? I was like, no. Meanwhile, I'm like, oh, we're sitting here talking about the dentist. And I'm like, Oh, I have a dentist appointment today.
This year, we finally were like, you know what? Because I was always the one who's like, we have to make this shorter. Nobody wants to listen to a 2-hour podcast. This is ridiculous. And we're wasting so much time. No, I'm talking about. And then I was like, fuck it. We're not ever leaving our desks anyway. Well, why don't we just... it's not like I decided. We just decided together, like, who cares? If we're in the mood to talk 2 hours, just split it in two.
Yeah, well, because I'm always just trying to kind of like, yes, and Ronnie, the best I can, to varying degrees of effect. So Ronnie will be like, well, the other day I went to the store. I'm like, the store? Well, you know, the store, that's where you can get yogurt. So like, I'm always going to lean into more time. So, like,
I might just part one and part two this motherfucker. Fill up 2 weeks. Why not?
Do it. No one would be surprised that you have us on. Really? We forced you. And you do part twos with us all the time. Actually, I think the last couple of times we've been on here have been two-parters.
Yep. Yeah.
Ronnie, that's why you have to come back to LA. So that way the three of us can hang out when Taylor's in town.
I'm legit trying. Everything is $2 million.
Well, Taylor, hopefully I'll see you next week. We'll try to figure out some time.
I'm going to be getting gum surgery. Meanwhile, all of us sitting here with all of our veneer talk, it's like, who the fuck
are we?
That's
why we're the dentist. I have like a gum issue right now. It's driving me nuts.
Yeah, I have to get gum surgery.
I have oncoming kidney disease. I just finished with high blood pressure. Finally got that under control. And now he's like, well, now we need to worry about your kidneys. I was like, just fucking kill me already, okay? Just slit my throat next time I'm here. Fuck.
And there you have it. Thank you guys for joining. I love you so much. So much. You guys, if you don't listen to Watch What Happens, which is incredible. I don't even believe anybody listening here doesn't. But if you don't listen, Watch What Happens. It's so literally new episodes every fucking second of your life. It's so fucking good. You guys are brilliant. And I just love you both bits and pieces.
Thank you. We love you, Tay.
Love you too.
You guys, that is it for us. Have a great rest of your week. Until next week. Bye, girl. Bye.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.